Last week we were talking about a meal with Peter. Jesus had a meal with Peter. Peter had some of the same problems. I believe Peter could have related to that song, "Keep me in your will so I don't get in your way." Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, just like Jesus said he would, but Peter vehemently denied that that would ever happen. He believed in himself. He was strong-willed, stubborn, and wasn't afraid to speak his mind. Jesus ate with Peter to teach him a lesson. That is, he was wanting to tell him about the danger of pride. Pride is when you get to trusting in yourself a little too much. You got a little too much confidence in your own abilities. And a lot of us may get to those points. I think sometimes most of us have not enough confidence in our abilities. We have a low self-image rather than a good self-image. Bible says we ought to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to.
Amen.
That means we ought to be thinking of ourselves highly, because God don't make any junk, folks. He made you perfectly, amen, the way he wanted you to be. And he had a plan for you, and he knew that you would become what he wanted you to be. You would fulfill everything that he had in his will for you. But sometimes we do get in his way.
Amen.
We need to stay in his will. And we have to be reminded, as the song says, that I'm just a glove in which you place your hand. Amen.
That's right.
We should not think of ourselves more highly. Peter thought of himself pretty highly. In fact, he thought he loved Jesus more than all the other disciples. So Jesus had to call him after supper and say, "Peter, do you really love me more than these other disciples love me? More than these," he said. "Do you really love me more than they do? Do you serve me more than the rest of them do? Do you really think that you're a better preacher than the others? Do you really think you're a better singer than others?
Come on.
Do you really think you're a better musician than others? Do you really think you're a better teacher?" Oh, we should have a good image of ourselves, but never the wrong image. But Peter's problem is he overestimated himself and underestimated others. That was a bad thing, but the worst of all, he underestimated Christ, not realizing that it was Christ that said that he would make him fishers of men. Peter was a fisherman of fish, but only Christ was going to make him what he ought to be. And God had to teach him how to fish again, didn't he? We know the story there, so I'm not going to get too much onto that. All I know is when Peter went down to fish, he took 5 of them. There was 5 of them went down to fish. And the Bible says they fished all night and caught nothing. That ain't too good a fisherman, is it? But when Jesus showed up, amen, he said, "Have you any meat?" And they said, we ain't caught nothing all night." That's when Peter realized that was Jesus, and he was naked, jumped in the water, amen, and tried to get away from Jesus. Just like he was when Jesus first called him. And he bowed at the feet of Jesus and he says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of you." But he had got to the point he thought he was worthy of everything. He would never deny Jesus. "Oh, they all may be offended, but not me, Lord." Jesus' message was clear. They had, in their own hands, could catch nothing. But even with the help of Jesus, Danny, the Bible says they got such a great catch that they could not even pull it in. The five of them could not pull it. Maybe they should have got the rest of the disciples. They thought the five of them was enough. Jesus sometimes will give you more blessing. He will bless you abundantly. You'll not have room to receive the blessings that God wants to give you if you let Jesus do the fishing for you. Sometimes we gotta fish ourselves, don't we? I want you to know, he asked them to bring their catch in that they couldn't even pull to shore. They must have let most of them get away, Joe, because they only had 153 fish when they brought it to shore. I figured that 153, they must have let most of them. I want you to know, most of the ones that I brought into this church done got away. And you know what? Jesus didn't even need any of the 153. Because when they got there and says, here's what we got, he said they already got it cooking on the fire. He had already, amen, cleaned the fish, caught the fish, and cooked the fish.
Amen.
The meal was ready. All they had to do was come and die. Praise the Lord. Today I want to build upon this lesson a little bit. Lest that we think that our skill and our talents and our contributions to the kingdom of God doesn't matter. They do. What you give for Jesus, He called you and He's given you the talents and the ability and everything you need. I want you to know they do matter to Jesus. So that's why I've got to preach to you on this one today. Lest we think that our skills and contributions don't matter. If you're planning to do anything for Jesus Christ, you need to consider all the facts. And there is a fact that Jesus does need you. You know, the whole gospel is contingent upon man preaching it.
That's right.
Even Jesus Himself, after He ascended to heaven, would not tell Paul the gospel. He converted him, knocked him off of his horse, set him on the right path. Amen. But Saul had to look up and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Boy, that's a good question. Amen. There's a lot of people out there. Amen. Amen. They think Jesus is going to do it all for them. He's going to do it all. They don't have nothing to do themselves. But Saul said, what would you have me do? He said, go into the place called Straight and call for old Simon Peter. Call for Ananias, I believe it was. And Ananias went down and told him what he needed to do. We need to understand there's always something that God wants you to do. And you need to find out what it is. See, let's look at some of these facts. Let's consider everything that needs to be considered. And I want to preach to you, amen, on this particular meal with Jesus. It's a meal with the multitudes. Jesus had a meal with over 5,000 people. Now, He had been eating with the disciples. He had been eating with Matthew. Amen. And all that. Now He's having a meal with multitudes of people. And rather than spend all your time today running through the scriptures, I'm just going to tell you where I'm getting your information from and let you look it up yourself. Matthew 14. Mark chapter 6. And John chapter 6. That's where you want to study if you want to come up with what I got. Amen? But the focus verse I want you to consider today is about something that needs to be considered. It says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now, I don't believe their heart was hardened like Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The word that is used in the Greek is the same word we use for porous. In fact, that's what the Greek word was, porous. But we spell it a little bit different than the Greeks. We spell it P-O-U-R or P-O-R-O-U-S. I believe that's right, isn't it? They spell it in Greek, P-O-R-U-S. That sounds a little weird. Spell, ain't it? Greek ain't that hard. So, the fact that something here was considered, was not considered, tells me some things. Well, first of all, I've got to look at the fact that if they didn't consider something, that what that means is there had to be some kind of plan. They must have had some kind of plan that they didn't consider. Of course, if you don't have any plan, I want you to know you're planning to fail. Do you have a plan? That's what the devil told me. If you ain't planning for something, you're planning to fail. I am not planning to fail in my work here in this church. And I pray that you wouldn't be wanting to do that in your ministry either, because I believe we all got a ministry. And it tells us why they didn't consider it. Because their heart was hardened. It was like a stone. When we think of a stone, there's different kinds of rock. Do you know that? Some are porous and some are impervious. Or granite, brother and Jesse, you know is pretty impervious. They say that fellow's heart was like a slab of granite. That means nothing could go in and nothing could come out. Amen. If you got a hard heart like that, that's the way Pharaoh had. His heart was like granite. And it got harder every time he said no to God. Amen. But there are also stone that is like sandstone. They're very loosely connected. And it allows water and stuff to seep into it. Worst of all, it allows leaven to come in. You know, what I'm relating this to is if you've got an open mind, you're pervious. Things can get in. Amen. Your mind is open so the Word of God can come in. But the problem with having an open mind is sometimes our mind is way too open. Amen. And our brains fall out. So what God is trying to tell us, amen, you better, amen, guard your heart with all diligence, for in it is the issues of life. You've got to want what goes into your head and into your heart. Amen. You can't close it off and say, I won't let nothing in, because the Word of God can't get in and sin can't get out. The kind of hard heart that they had was a stone. But their problem was they were just too dumb to figure out what God was trying to tell them. They didn't learn the lesson. They had a foolish heart. You know, the Bible says, amen, they had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. It's talking about in the book of Romans, chapter 1, it says, amen, when they knew God, they regarded him not as God, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Foolish heart. A foolish heart is a heart that doesn't understand what God is trying to do. I want you to know Peter's heart was foolish until Jesus had that last meal with him. Not the Last Supper. That's when he really messed up. He had a change of heart when Jesus sat down and said, "Lovest thou me, Peter, more than these?" God changed his heart. His old hard heart and his stubbornness became open and let the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus come in. Peter realized that he was nothing without Jesus, but he understood, amen, that even though he had denied Jesus, Jesus was still going to forgive him. Oh, what an understanding. So, let's consider the facts. And the facts that I'm talking about is this big meal that the Lord has with over 5,000 people. Now, some people figured it could have been at least 15,000 because they didn't count the men or the women and the men or the women and the kids. They only counted the men. But I see if they forgot to consider something, then they must have forgot to have a plan. Church, if you're going to do anything for God or for yourself, you better have a plan. That's the problem. We need to set goals. We need to have, amen, what is our objective? What is our objective for this block party? Have a good time? Is our objective to try to win the lot? No, our objective for this thing is to get to know our neighbors and let them get to know us. And we believe if we can accomplish that, the Lord will do the rest. He said, cast your net over on the right side, or push out into the deep and let down the net for a drop, he said. And I'll fill the nets. That's what the Lord's telling us. What he's telling us is be prepared. Now, Jeanette and Deb and I went out to Walmart yesterday. Amen. You know, we're going to be serving the Lord to go to Walmart. I don't like going there. But when I do, I try to have a plan. And we said, what are we going to go there for? We're going to go there to get some stuff that we need. We've already determined, we've had meetings here. We're working out the plan for this block party that we're going to have. And we've determined, well, how many do you think we're going to have? I don't know. We've never done this thing before. But I do know there's about 60-something people that we're sending things direct to this neighborhood, and we're asking them to invite. We're going to be going down into that neighborhood and passing out tracts and stuff like that. How do you know you're going to do that? We planned it. We planned, basically, we considered how many might show up. And in that consideration, we've determined that there's certain things we've got to do. And there's certain things we've got to do, Brother Joe, to get them to come out, don't we? Amen. We've determined, amen, they ain't going to come up here to see Tom Stevens. They ain't going to come up here to see Joe. They don't care a thing about my preaching. Amen. They don't care too much about what's going on here. They got things in their life. They got bigger fish to fry. Okay? We got to give them reason to show up. So we're doing everything we can to get them here to accomplish that one goal that they get to know us. And from that point on, we pray they'll get to know Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's your foot in the door right there. But we've got to be prepared. That is my motto. I have told the church many times that if we can't plan a dinner on the ground, or we can't plan to have a sing or something like that, then we're not going to be able to plan a revival or anything else. God has saw fit through the use of eating and stuff like that, and these dinner on the grounds, we should, everything we do, we ought to be doing it to learn how to fish. How to win souls. To be His disciples. So yes, we've got to plan. There needs to be a good plan. It is essential that we have a good plan. And I think you're going to find that this is in this lesson today. Be prepared. Plan, organize, and all that. Hand out the job. Oh, make the announcements and all that stuff. Pastor's got to do a lot of that. Sometimes the evangelists, they just get out and preach and that's it. But a pastor's got to do all kinds of things. Amen. First of all, we need to consider the cost. Well, we did. We figured $175 for that water slide. Amen. Of course, I ain't counting the water. That's going to run down the hill either. But pretty much, we're considering these things. Sister Jeanette, I was trying to tell Sister Jeanette, she said, I don't think we got enough mustard. So she got some mustard, and she got some ketchup, and got some mayonnaise and all that. And I'm looking at that and saying, my gosh, she must have more faith than I do, because there's more mustard here. There's enough mustard here to, amen, have all kinds of parties. So I'm like, I must not be as big in faith as she is. She believes we're going to have a drop. She believes they're going to come in so great we're not having enough mustard to spread on everybody's side. Way I figured if 100 shows up and a third of them has mustard and a third of them has ketchup and a third of them has you know, mayonnaise. Amen. We should have plenty. But she probably said, hey, maybe all of them want it all. They may want ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. I don't know. Be prepared. Nothing wrong with that, sister. And if we don't use it, we can don't lose it. That's going to be the lesson here. If you don't use it, don't lose it. You can use it for some other time. Let me get on into this. We've got to consider the cost. Be prepared to follow up and finish what you start. Follow through. Complete the course. Paul says, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. Hence, there's a crown laid up for me. If you want to get the reward or the success, you've got to be willing to finish the course. Now, Jesus told us, He said, what man of you wanting to build a tower? Let's see, here it is. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Folks, we need to take an account of what we have now and what we need to get, and we got to get what we need to get. We got to consider our assets. But don't forget, when you consider your assets, don't forget to include your liabilities. Amen. I know I'm probably probably not up to sitting out there on the barbecue grill from 2 o'clock to 5. I know my brother Joe here, amen, God bless him. Amen, he's going to be right beside me with a fire grill there too probably, but I know he's not able either. We better plan for somebody relieving us, I hope. Can we finish what we started? Remember, they couldn't draw in the fish. They went fishing, and Jesus gave them fish, but they wasn't ready. They didn't take enough. I believe God's going to give us enough to finish the course. See, you know where this come from, though? The scripture? In Luke 14, it begins, Jesus is telling them what it costs to be a disciple. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to forsake everything. Your brother, your mother, your father, your kids, everybody. You've got to be willing to give up everything if you want to be my disciple. Now, who in the world would want to? Is that what it's going to cost me? I didn't say it would cost you everything to make it to heaven, but you've got to be willing to give it up.
That's right.
Bible says he that saves his life will lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus, you gain it. What a paradox. I reckon, or dilemma, or whatever you want to call it. It's not lemon, is it? It's dilemma, right? So we got to be prepared to forsake all if you want to be his disciple. Now, what he had just told his disciples this stuff, Luke. But now he's also telling them that they've got to consider that they might have to give it all up. Have we considered that? Have we considered that God not only wants our talents and our skills and our organizational abilities and our leadership, but he might want everything? Oh, he's going to do it all. No, he wants everything. He wants you to be willing to do it. And he tests his disciples. Because I'm getting to the meal here, folks. Don't get hungry. I know I hate sitting around waiting to eat. And then while they're getting it ready, but I'm laying out the preliminaries. I'm putting out the appetizers here. Who gets the main course? They need to have a good plan. But your plan had better consider the unexpected. It better consider the unexpected. And what do you mean by that? Well, James tells us, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and we'll get some gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And then he says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this and that. He's not saying that we shouldn't plan. He's not saying that we shouldn't consider just about everything that we possibly can. He wants us to consider everything that will go wrong. Rebecca, we got to consider Murphy's Law. What is Murphy's Law? It says that if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And if the Lord's in it trying to teach you a lesson, I guarantee you it's going to go wrong. There are going to be some unexpected things. God's going to bring you through some unexpected things so that you can learn from those lessons. That's what we're getting to. Don't get too much of a hurry here. Let's look at some of the things that was quite unexpected. I want to say that the start of this, amen, Mark chapter 6 is where I'm getting most of the story from. At the beginning of it, Mark tells how Jesus had sent, he had ordained his disciples, he had anointed them and commissioned them to go out and preach the gospel. He told them to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. He didn't just say you might need to do it. He said he commanded them to do it. To raise the dead? Hey, wait a minute. That's asking a little too much, isn't it? But he sent them out, the Bible says, with nothing. They had things. They had their skills, they had their money, they had their talents, and he says, amen, go out. He commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff. We all need a little crutch every now and then, don't we? Amen. Save a staff only, no script, no bread, no money, in the purse. Now, unless you take the purse, but it's got to be empty. What good is an empty purse? It's time to teach you something. Well, I've been many times I've had an empty purse. So why did Jesus send them out with nothing? Now, from that, some of us, I remember talking about foolish hearts, people that don't understand the Word of God. There's been people out there jump out into a ministry and they take nothing with them. I've seen singers, they out here singing and they don't have a job, they don't do nothing, they ain't planning on anything, but Lord's going to provide. And most of them out there begging for somebody to let them sing. You see, one thing I learned, I worked until I got to retire before I ever come here. But I've been full-time the whole time. Okay? Now, I'm not bragging. I'm not Peter here thinking I'm better than anybody else, okay? Don't get me wrong. I learned from my lesson there on that. Jesus sent them out with nothing. When they got back, Joe, they were happy. They were rejoicing. And they said, even the devils are subject to us. And then we've been having great success. They had people following them. They had multitudes of people begin to follow them. The Bible says there was much going and coming of the people. They were coming in and leaving and coming. They were just being surrounded by people. Jesus and the disciples. But they were hungry. And they were tired. And they were weary. Sometimes I get so excited I don't even think about eating, Joe. That's a miracle in itself. I've noticed that when I get back there studying the Word of God, and God gets to blessing me in the Word, Dad said, hey man, it's been 6 hours, the day's gone, it's time for supper. And I'm like, what? It's breakfast time, ain't it? But they had come back tired, weary, excited, but hungry and tired. Now, that's not a good state to be in, is it? You're tired. I need rest. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, let's come apart. Jesus said, let's go into the wilderness and rest for a spell. Time to get our vacation. The Lord has sent us out with nothing, but yet we were still successful. We're tired and weary. And now he's going to give us a vacation. So they went into the wilderness. Now, I want you to know, they had something in their purse this time. I happen to know, if you study those scriptures they're giving you, their treasury must have been at least 200 pence. Because it says, Philip said, well, 200 pence is not enough to feed this multitude out here. So they must have had 200 pence. What would 200 pence buy? That's 200 pennies, by the way. Bread was cheaper back then than it certainly is today. You could, for a penny, would feed 10 men a meal. They had over 2,000 portions of food if they had 200 pennies. You know, that would have lasted them, the way I figure, and I like to figure things out, that would have lasted them over 50 days. That's 13 people eating off of it. At least, Mark, you already figured that out, didn't you, Mark? He's probably got it up here. That's one penny. It's 10 people, and 10 times 200 is 2,000. That was 2,000 meals. You divide it by 3 meals a day, and then by 13 disciples, you still got 50 days that they could eat 3 meals a day. They had more than enough to feed themselves as long as 50 or 60 days, maybe 2 months. But guess what? The unexpected happened. When they got out there trying to get away from the people, they all showed up. Now, what do you do when you got 15,000 people showing up? And this is when Jesus said, Philip, have you got enough money? He must have had the bag again, because Judas probably wasn't. He says, Lord, 200 pence is not enough for this. That would have been 2,000 portions was not enough for even the men to have some. He said, if we just break this up in little small portions like a feeding fish with it, that still ain't enough. But Jesus said, feed the people. What they thought was excess turned out to be not enough. Maybe Jeanette has got more wisdom there also. Hey man, I'm thinking there's enough mustard, there's enough ketchup, and she said, well, I need to get more. But here's the thing. Jesus is teaching a lesson in the unexpected. You can plan. You can, amen, save. You can have everything taken care of and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and something unexpected will happen. I'm talking about, that don't just have to do with church stuff. It has to do with anything you're planning. Amen. Now, guess what? They had to feed all these people. And guess what Jesus did? He told them. Now, think about it. They planned on having a vacation, but they ended up having to give their food and divide what they had with all the multitudes. You see, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to be willing, amen, to handle the unexpected things that's going to come up. Jesus told them, oh, don't think that Jesus ain't a believer in being prepared and organization and all that. Because Jesus made the disciples feed them Even though they were still tired, they were still weary, they were still hungry, and now they had lost all their treasure. Well, if Deb was a treasure, she would have been saying, we ain't got enough for that slide. And then he says, divide them up, 50s, 100s, and then hand them out. You know, he said, what else you got here? We ain't got enough with all our 200 pence. He says, what else do we have? And they found a little lad that brought his lunch. And Jesus said, that's going to be enough. We don't even need your money, Philip. I just wanted to see what you were going to do. I'm just trying to freak you out. And here's what Jesus showed her. What do you got? We got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus says, that ought to be enough. And he began to break the bread and began to distribute it to the disciples, and they ended up, and the Bible said they were all full. They didn't just eat a scrap or two like Philip, but they ate until they were full. It's just like, amen, you can catch your load, you can bring everything, you can do all the things that you can do, and you can bring it to church, and it still won't amount to nothing without the Holy Ghost being in control. Amen, if you give Him your song, if you trust Him, if you give it all to Jesus, Jesus will feed you.
Amen.
He's teaching, I'm going to come through for you. Now, here's the real good thing. He didn't give just enough for them. Now, they said there was only 5,000 men. You notice that the disciples didn't even count the women and kids. I want you to know, Jesus did. Say, I don't count, brother. Jesus counts. Everybody. Not only did he supply enough, now he didn't go overboard. There was 12 baskets left over. 12 baskets of fragments left over.
Amen.
And what do you do with those 12 baskets? Oh, we're saving that. Got that too, yeah. Something else happened to them. Right after they fed the multitudes, Jesus told them to get in a ship and go on to the other side. Well, what about our vacation? What about that rest of peace that you were talking about? I'll let you rest in the storm that you're about to go through. He sent them to the other side, and a storm come out. Folks, you might get to thinking that Jesus is working against him. He sent them out on the ministry with nothing, but yet they were successful. They didn't have enough money, but it wasn't needed anyway. They didn't have no rest, but they kept going. They had more to give than they thought they had. And they got in the midst of the storm. They began to row against the wind. The Bible says, now, when you're doing what Jesus tells you to do, and it seems like you're going against everything is coming against you,
amen,
and you're not achieving anything, but you're being blown back by the storm of life. And you say, why ain't God with me? Well, the Bible says that Jesus was praying and he saw them toiling and rowing against the wind. Erica, honey, you may think you're rowing against the wind. You may think the storm that's coming against you right now is just blowing you away. But I want you to know Jesus sees your struggle and he sees you pressing forward still doing the best you can. Because when you give it all to Jesus, you give it your last. So that's all the... They didn't expect a storm to happen right after the other unexpected things. The Lord is saying, you didn't consider something in your plan. They considered not the miracle of the loaves because they were a little too slow. That's but I could say they're dumb as a rock. Amen. The wrong kind of rock. But they didn't consider. They had a good plan, but they didn't consider God's plan. Think about that. Do you think that God had a plan in this whole thing? Did God have a plan when he sent them out with nothing? Did he have a plan when they were tired and weary and he sent them out to rest knowing that they were going to get overflowed with people? And before they could rest from that experience, he sends them into the storm. And there was a fellow with a devil on the other side, a legion of devils. My Lord was before us. You better learn what the Lord is trying to teach these people here. Because it may come in handy in your life. Something always comes up that you don't consider. So, it says they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. So I'm going to tell you what that is. No matter how good your plan is, you better consider the God plan. That is the will of God. What is God's plan? It's in the Bible. It's the will of God. And we don't have to wonder what it is. He's told his disciples over and over and over, I shall supply all your need according to you. My riches and glory. What's that Jehovah Jireh, is it, that we sing that song? Not only that, but we sung the other song. Amen. It would have been enough if he brought life. It would have been enough if he brought peace. It would have been enough if he brought health. But he gave me something else. He put laughter in my soul. Not only does God's plan call for providing what you need, it calls for an abundance of the things of God. God will pour out His Spirit. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not have room to receive it.
Amen.
But you've got to consider God's plan. Consider God's plan for financing the church. Pay your tithes. That's what He said. Consider God's plan for you. The reason they didn't consider that, the loaves was the heart was a little slow to understand the lessons. Their foolish heart was dark. And I said, when Jesus sent them out with nothing, they were successful. When He allowed them to be pushed beyond measure, they were still successful. When they didn't have enough, they were successful. You find that in all this stuff, there was 12 basketful left over. Now let's consider that. Because that's what He's wanting us to look at. He's never failed me yet. That's the song that He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. I can't remember how the song was, but that's, amen. All these songs that we're singing. You see, what they didn't plan for was this. John tells us in chapter 6, verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now he knew there was going to be more left than what, he knew exactly how much was going to be there to eat and how much they would need. If you think that you've got everything considered in your plan, God don't miss nothing, does he? He knows it all. He knows all the unexpected things that's going to come up. And he accounts for them. So, think about this. He said nothing be lost because he knew there was a need for these fragments. They would need them later. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto that they had eaten. They started with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and now they fed 15,000 people, and they still got 12 baskets. That's a basket for each disciple. Oh, what a portion. A basketful. All right, think about it. I mean, you know the song Joanne El Shaddai? Joanne sings that sometimes. Do you know what it means? It means God Almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful. The word comes from that word Shaddai, which means more than enough. More than enough. Overflowing. Come, let us sing. Come, let us sing. In the midst of all the trials that David went through, he wrote the 23rd Psalm. That's a song that we try to quote when we're unexpected things happen, isn't it? I could hear people on planes going down quoting that song. Trying to remember. Remember the miracles of the past. Remember that God has never failed you. He's been with you every step of the way. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Glory to God. I like that song, I'm drinking from my saucer. Amen. Because, amen, my cup's been running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, I want you to know God wants you to be prepared. He wants you to make plans. He expects it. That's what a wise person does. He expects you to set goals. He expects you to cast your net. He expects you to go fishing and do whatever you can do. God always lets his children go out and do the work. But when they get in a jam, I want you to know he's there in the shadow to provide what's been. So hold your head up. Amen. Consider all the facts. Get a good plan. But remember, you can never plan for all the things that can go wrong in your life. But I want you to know, God's got a plan for that.